True riches.
Have you ever made a mistake or committed an error in judgment? It can be very costly. Today we will consider three mistakes that many people make in life and what happens in the lives of those who make these decisions. Through the years, men and women have sought for many positions in life. They have aspired to be great, rich, prominent, successful. People exert every effort to achieve their goals. But after success, what then? What is greatness? What is it to be truly rich? What is success? In the Holy Scriptures of God, the Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 12, we will find the answers to some of these questions with which we are confronted today. Let us consider what God says about false security or true riches. Beginning with verse 16 of the book of Luke, chapter 12, we find a man's conception of life. We read, "And he," Messiah Jesus, "spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." We learn that in this person's past, he had been successful in business, as the average person thinks of success today. This one had accumulated great possessions and wealth. In our day, he probably would have been one who had done very well in the stock market or in mutual funds or in some endeavor in which he invested his time and labor. The investment of his time and his funds had brought a great increase so that he had accumulated a great deal of this world's goods and riches. The Bible calls this man a rich man. He had gained material riches and perhaps was about to retire. This type of business life is held up as a model to young adults today. We are told to strive for a good business, better incomes, more vacations, fewer working hours. Work, plan, save, invest for financial security and happiness for family and oneself. We find this man in the Scriptures had obtained his wealth from the ground. One would think this method of gaining money and possessions would turn a person to God. Can one sow seed, see the shoot come up, the leaf, then the fruit, and reap an abundant harvest, and yet not know there is a God who is interested in this world and mankind? It is all too true that many people who derive all of their possessions from the world that God has created choose to ignore their Creator. A person can be so close to God and yet not know Him. I wonder in how many homes there is a Bible that is never touched, except perhaps on the high holy days or when tragedy strikes. How many men and women go to the Lord's house and yet not know the redemption offered to all through the blood of atonement provided by the Messiah of Israel, Jesus? This rich man gained his wealth from what God had produced, and still he knew not God, for he did not have a personal relationship with the Almighty God of creation. Does monetary success bring happiness and satisfaction? What was the present condition of this rich man? It appears he was dissatisfied. You can have great wealth and not have true peace and security. In verses 17 and 18 of our scripture text, we read, "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. No mention is made of any joy in his life, but rather his desire to increase his assets by more storage space, larger warehouses. The Bible says he thought within himself. Now this is good, but unfortunately he thought only about himself and his business and his possessions and his savings and how he could increase them. Oh, that you and I might always turn our thoughts Godward. May we stop thinking only of ourselves, our position, our material gain, our happiness, our, my, mine, and turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the Messiah Jesus for his will and plan for our lives. This man was dissatisfied with his present state, and he also was selfish. In verses 17 and 18, we read of his abundance, but no mention is made of others. In these two verses, he makes 9 references to himself. There is no mention of God or Messiah Jesus. The Lord was not in his plans. My friend, is God in your plans for today and for the future? Do you know the Lord God of creation? Will you seek him? The Bible has much to say about possessions. We read in the Jewish Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, in the 5th book of Moses, Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verses 10 through 20. I'll read parts of these verses. When riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. We have briefly considered this man's past, present, but what of his future? He was seeking ease, verse 19. Having amassed his fortune, he now turns to the immediate future and plans for ease, enjoyment, and pleasure, a good time in retirement. My friend, in his planning, he made 3 mistakes. He failed to do as God had warned him to do back in the Old Testament scriptures, that when material things increase, don't set your heart upon them, but still seek God. But he made mistakes, and we're going to see them here. Listen to these errors in judgment, and may God instruct us from his word. First, he knew not the value of his soul. We as human beings consist of a body, soul, and spirit. The soul does not consist or live of the things that maintain the body, food. Bread, meat, and drink satisfy the flesh, our body, and its physical needs, but it will not satisfy the soul. Our spirit gives expression to our soul, which is our basic life. In Genesis 2 and verse 7 we read, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." A soul will live forever. God created it so. It will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. The Bible says, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." God wants you to seek him today, and not to make the mistake that this man made of failing to realize the value of your soul. Your soul needs to be forgiven of sin. Should you have any questions or desire additional CDs for further study about God, the Messiah, and the way to have personal peace from God, write to me, George Gruen, at Post Office Box 156, Ephrata, that's Ephrata, Pennsylvania 17522, or email me at ggruen@djazz.com. That's ggruen at djazz.com. Visit us on the internet at www.godandjews.org. God be with you to lead you in His way to real peace and joy today and for all eternity. Guy shared with you God's word about a man who was concerned first and foremost with his obtaining great possessions. We considered Bible truth regarding material things and one's eternal soul. We found that this person knew not the value of his immortal soul, for he thought that he could satisfy his soul or his life with money, material riches, and possessions, and so neglected his relationship to the eternal Almighty God of creation. This person said of himself, "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This was the first of three tragic mistakes this man made. He knew not the value of his soul, for our soul will never be satisfied with the material things of this life, that which we might eat or drink, or the ease with which we might live. Our soul can only be satisfied by God. The second mistake made by this rich man was this: he knew not the value of time. We read in the Bible book of Luke, chapter 12, again verse 19, that he felt he had many years to live and enjoy his riches. He had sufficient money and possessions to last for many, many years, but he really did not have any more time to live than that day. Time is measured duration, but you and I are not able to measure the duration of days, months, or years that are here given to us on this earth, or those days or years that are yet left to us. We do not know when we're going to die. Men and women, even young people and children, have no lease on life. We read God's indictment of this man in verses 20 and 21 of our text. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The Lord said he would die that very night, and he did. The man said, "I have many years to live, and I'm going to enjoy myself." But he died. In the Holy Scriptures book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 27, and verse 1, we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, God warns us, "He that being often reproved," that is, you hear the word of God again and again, people speak to you about God's plan of forgiveness of sin in Messiah and you turn away from them. Somebody offers you a portion of Bible scripture verses to read, leaflet, and you throw it away. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck," or his heart, "shall suddenly be destroyed," or die, "and that without remedy, no second chance." Our decision about where we're going to live for all eternity is made now in this life while we yet have time. there is no second chance after death. I know some religious teachings say there is, but the Bible says no. Once we die, we're appointed to judgment. There is much deception in the world today, even as there was back in the beginning of mankind, as recorded in the book of Genesis. Satan came to Eve with his temptation, as is recorded in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. There had been no death on the earth of human beings up until that time. There was only Adam and Eve. And Satan came to Eve and said that she would not die if she partook of the fruit of the tree of life. She believed him and partook, and so did Adam, and so sin entered the world. And they did die. Today, the enemy of our souls does not tell us that we will not die. But today the deception is, you will not die so soon. You have plenty of time to consider God and the Bible later. Enjoy yourself now. Don't get involved with the Bible or Bible believers, but enjoy your sin, enjoy your funds, your life, and whatever you want to do that makes you happy, do it, because you're not going to die so soon. The philosophy of self-indulgence for pleasure in any way it makes you feel, as far as today's philosophy is concerned, is good. Do it. You are told to enjoy life now, satisfy your desires, for you will have plenty of time later to seek God. The rich man in this true Bible account made the mistake that he had much time to live, but he did not. How long will you live? How many days are before you to live? God said of this rich man, "Tonight you will die." The rich man also knew not the value of wealth. He believed that his money and possessions would bring him happiness for many, many years. Again, he was wrong, for he died and his money was left to his relatives or friends, all of it. He took nothing with him. Bible believer, those of you who are the redeemed of the Lord, are you wisely investing the material things the Lord has so abundantly showered upon you? We live in very dangerous days, fearsome days on the part of many. And the future, we know not what it holds, but we know as Bible believers who holds the future. God does. And we need to invest for him and for his glory in getting his wonderful news of redemption out to lost souls. As Bible believers, we need to know the value of wealth. We read in the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold." Perhaps this rich man thought that when the time came for him to seek God, he would have enough funds that he could satisfy God's requirement, but he was wrong. "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed from sin by corruptible things as silver and gold, but were redeemed with the precious blood of the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Yes, forgiveness of sin comes only through a person's receiving the atonement provided by the Messiah's death on the cross, the shedding of his blood as the sacrifice for you and for me, that we might be forgiven of our sins. Be certain, my friend, that you do not make the mistake of failing to realize the true value of time and of wealth. Exercise your faith to know God now, to understand his plan for your life, so that you can experience his cleansing and peace and joy. Now I'd like to read for you the scripture in Luke chapter 12 again, very briefly. Listen to God's word. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In verse 20, God calls this man a fool. According to this truth in the Bible, God's word, a person who spends all of his time in the accumulation of personal gain or wealth, with no regard for his spiritual welfare, the welfare of his eternal soul, that man or woman is a fool, because that person will die in sin and go to an eternal hell. My dear friend, I urge you to seek God today, that you might know his plan for your life. It's good to have the material things of this life, a home and a car and the income needed and food and clothing. That's fine. But we need to put God first, and I urge you to seek him today. Should you have any questions or desire additional CDs for further study about God, the Messiah, and the way to have personal peace from God, write to me, George Gruen, at Post Office Box 156, Ephrata, that's Ephrata, Pennsylvania 17522. Visit us on the internet at www.godandjews.org. God be with you to lead you in his way to real peace and joy today and for all eternity.